Welcome to The Sober Gay, a podcast about being sober in the LGBT community and beyond. I'm your host, Dylan Gay.
Y'all know that is his last name.
Hi, Aubrey.
Hello, Dylan.
How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm feeling fun and fresh. Yes. Like a little bit about, you know, me. Like I got my new job going on.
Yes.
I've said that so many times on the show, I feel like.
But I am just so happy because it's a job that you actually enjoy doing.
Yes. So. My last job, I did not like doing it. It was not fun. So this job is more fun. So I'm in a good headspace lately.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about Roxy over from Off the Sauce Pod.
Yes.
Told us that we should call we couldn't come up with a term for the non-drinkers, and she said, yes, call them non-drinkers, and I think that makes so much sense.
I love that, and it's just so simple.
Yeah.
I feel like that should have been something we came to.
Yeah.
Right away, but I love it. Non-drinkers.
Yeah, and that was in referring to our last episode where we talked about the differences between drinking. Being sober versus never having a drink at all. And we couldn't think of what to call those people. So non-drinkers works perfectly. So
yeah.
Thanks, Roxy. We love you.
We do. Thank you, Roxy.
We love you, Roxy. And we love you too, Nina. But
listen to Off the Sauce Pod.
Yeah, we love them. Anyway, so I wanted to start off. We are going to be talking today about some healthy versus unhealthy outlets in sobriety. But we had a letter that I wanted to start to share with you first. I cannot talk tonight. I'm sorry.
That is okay. I experience that every single day. So.
Yeah, we're sisters like that. We're sober sisters like that. Sober okay. Sisters. So we got a letter. We're going to keep it anonymous, I think. Yeah. Okay. So, hey guys, I just recently got into your podcast and I am loving it, girl. I would love to chat more. I am a 42-year-old gay single man living in Fort Lauderdale. On March 9th, I have 2 years of sobriety, and girl, let me tell you, it has been a rocky road. I love that you and Aubrey pretty much just decided one day it was time to quit. I so wish that was the case for myself. I have so much respect and admiration for you both for having that strength and courage. So here's the skinny in a nutshell. 2010. Got my first DUI when I was living in Los Angeles, California. Dabbled with AA, got the court stuff done, and moved here to Lottie Dottie in the same year. I love this person. 2013, got a second DUI. This time I tried AA again and just wasn't feeling it. I tried Smart Recovery in the rooms and tried moderation for a while which I was able to have one drink at dinner out. However, there were still those nights where I couldn't stop drinking. That sounds familiar. You know, we've all been there. Try to limit yourself to one drink and then you end up just binging and binging. Oh yeah. 2018, got my third DUI. This one was the wake-up call. I was crushed, broken, and so pissed off. I had just turned 40 about a month prior to this happening. I got heavily involved in AA and was chairing meetings, working the steps with a sponsor, and then went to court and was almost looking at 60 days in jail. What saved me was having to wear an ankle monitor called the SCRAM for a full year.
Oh, I know all about that.
Did you have to wear one?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, my God.
Not a whole year. No. No.
I went to a treatment center for the first time in March of 2019, and that experience was scary at first. However, it ended up being the most influential time of my life, where I looked inward. I got out of there and got the ankle monitor on, which was necessary as fuck, and just became a hermit. Got off that in April of 2020 and have since left AA and joined Recovery Dharma and Recovery Elevator. I have so much admiration for you to having the balls to bring this to the forefront and have an open conversation about alcohol on your podcast. If I lived in Colorado, we would all go dancing. I love that.
Oh, yes.
warm regards, Anonymous. So
I love that. And I just want to first tell you that I actually very much relate to that story. Like a lot, but a lot. Granted, I myself, I had two DUIs. I've gone through the AA programs that during all of that, and both of mine were three years apart. So, I had to learn the hard way as well, and I very much feel that story. 2 years in, and when you say it's a rocky road, it is a rocky road. I am still feeling it. Every single day, it's still a struggle. It's still something that I work on. So I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, that was a lovely letter. So thank you so much, listener. If you're listening, we love you so, so, so much.
Yes.
Okay, so on to our topic for the day. We are talking today about healthy versus unhealthy outlets in sobriety. So I made a little quick list, and Aubrey has a list as well. And I will just start going down our little list and talking about them.
Yes.
The first thing I always think of in the recovery community is coffee. So on the count of three, let's do healthy or unhealthy, what we think it is.
Ooh.
One, two, three. Healthy.
Unhealthy. Oh.
Oh,
Ooh, okay.
okay. Okay. I'll plead my case.
All right.
Okay. I think, yes, coffee can be very unhealthy in sobriety because it could be another crutch you turn to just for caffeine or for that buzz. That being said, coffee in general, in my head, I think of coffee as a broad topic, and I think of there's decaf available, and that is okay in
Okay,
my head.
okay.
And I think coffee it is okay for caffeine in the morning sometimes, if you're doing it the right way, I guess. In my head, I guess, I don't
No, I mean, and
know.
that's fair, but how many people are actually out there drinking decaf coffee?
Yeah, I
I
know.
mean,
I do sometimes just because I
I
get.
see that pot at AA meetings. I know that
Yeah.
decaf pot is full.
Yeah, I mean, I do like decaf coffee just for myself, just because
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that's kind of sensitive to caffeine, so I feel like if I drink too much coffee, I'm like jumping out of my skin or I'm getting really agitated
I feel you.
easily.
I feel you on
So
that.
I don't mind decaf coffee, but I will say I have seen people go a little overboard with the caffeine.
Oh yeah. Well, I remember in rehab learning, one of my counselors would point out, you'd see someone who's sober, but they have a monster in one hand, and then they'd also have their their gum or something, like a lot of things that they just like have reinforced that they need to do over and
Right.
over. They're smoking cigarettes, they're doing this stuff. So it's like you replaced alcohol with just this
Right.
stuff.
Oh, funny you say cigarette. That's the next thing on my list is nicotine. So in sobriety, my relationship with nicotine has been interesting because as a drinker, I smoked like a chimney. And then when I got sober, I thought I should give it up, but I ended up smoking even more throughout the day. And like that was one thing, like when I was a drinker, I never, well, I shouldn't say never. I didn't smoke during the day that often. Like I just thought it was gross. And until I had that first drink and then I wanted to start smoking. But then once I got sober, I just started smoking for the hell of it. And then it was just like wake up and smoke, and that was gross. And then I want to say it's been about 3, 4 months since I've had a cigarette. So I've just been, I still do the vape things. And like, I recently was off the nicotine vape
Yeah, you
for,
made it about a month, right?
yeah, I made it 21 days without nicotine in my system. And I don't know. I just like, I don't know. I didn't like have a weak moment or anything. I just went to the store and was like, oh, I want to do this again. So
Yeah.
it was my choice. I know it's not a great choice. That's not a good choice, but it was a choice I made.
I think that, like, I mean, nicotine and all of these other things. It's more, I guess, more of like a scientific standpoint for me and why I would say it's actually unhealthy, because obviously I still do, smoke vape. I still drink coffee because I think it does help me.
Yeah.
But like scientifically, I think that they say it's like you're 30% more likely to relapse if you continue smoking and or drinking coffee in sobriety
Right.
than someone who does not, which is very interesting. So
Right.
is it really like better to substitute that stuff for a higher percent chance of
And I
relapsing.
I feel like there's a third wall to sobriety that doesn't get talked about. Yes, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But a lot of stuff comes down to what your brain can handle mentally. Oh, yeah. So like, say that I was so fragile in my sobriety to where I was like, I'm going to drink this cup of coffee because it's going to give me a little buzz and maybe that'll give me something. It'll make me feel something. That's not for the right reason.
Yeah.
If I'm sober and I'm confident in my sobriety and I say, I want to have a cup of coffee, you know, because I could use some more energy, that's a healthier response.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I do. I think it's the way that you frame the situation in front of you.
Yeah. That's like that. It's like a veil, that like a third wall or fourth wall to sobriety that no one like mentions. I feel like there's a lot of these decisions that you just have to make
it's
for yourself.
Being able to make a healthy decision, which is what being sober has given us, is yes. that clarity to be able to do that. So if we can't use that like gift again to like discern what we can and can't do, like then what's the point?
Yeah. So on the count of three. Cigarettes or nicotine. 1, 2, 3.
Unhealthy.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, granted, they're just bad for you in general.
Yeah.
So
okay. Next on my list I have mocktails.
Mm.
We all love a good mocktail. One of my favorites is always gonna be a seltzer with a splash of cranberry and a lime. Oh, I just love it. It's simple, it's refreshing, it's not high in calories. Ugh.
You know what I honestly love? I love pineapple juice, some grenadine, soda water, and lime.
Oh, love it.
It's such a like interesting combination, but it's good flavors.
I do. But a lot of people have problems with mocktails because they think it, or they say it is, you know, just replacing with, you know, just replacing, I guess, the physical habit.
Yeah.
I get that. And that's where that third wall comes in again, where you have to be able to make that decision. You know, when I first got sober, I didn't jump to non-alcoholic beer. I kind of eased myself into it and said, you know, it feels okay to have one. I didn't kill a six pack of non-alcoholic beers in one sitting, you know, like I used to.
Yeah.
It was different when I reintroduced the mocktails.
I think this kind of like goes back to my story of when I actually first had the my first alcohol non-alcoholic beer, not my first.
Yeah.
My first non-alcoholic beer like in sobriety. And I think this kind of might help like close what you're saying, or like I cannot speak.
That's okay.
trying to help like bridge what you're saying here. Mm-hmm. When I was in Europe, I had that shot in front of me.
Yes.
And I knew that if I did not have something that tasted like alcohol or like something that tasted like a beer, I was going to drink that shot. Yeah. So I ordered a non-alcoholic beer. That was my like thought process. I need this or else I'm actually going to drink.
Right.
So like, does that, I feel like,
yeah,
that
no. And for people that aren't familiar with that story, Aubrey, when he was sober and went to Europe on a little backpacking trip and was at a bar, and it was just custom that the bartender just put a shot in front of him. Mm-hmm. And then Aubrey said, I don't drink, take it away. And they said, ha ha ha. And left the shot there to sit in front of him.
It just sat there. And I was there for like 40 minutes waiting for food, eating all of that. So
yeah, that was intense.
Yeah.
So mocktails, 1, 2, 3.
Healthy.
I think so too. Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
But then it kind of makes me want to change my answers from the last one, because it's like, how can you say that's healthy and then the other ones aren't?
I know. Okay, what, give me some of the things you have on your list, because I feel like we're just running through my list.
No, I love it. So honestly, so taking a trip or getting away in sobriety.
Love that. We did that in May. We went to Wyoming, me, you, and one of our other friends, Alex, on a little social distance trip to a cabin in Wyoming. It was lovely.
It was lovely and so needed.
It was so needed. And we're also lucky that we live in Colorado, because anytime we need to get out, people think about vacations, but we literally can drive like an hour and be in a vacation spot. So
like, we're just in the mountains right now in the middle of nowhere. It's okay.
Literally, a friend and I the other day went to went to you know about
oh,
this.
Yes.
We drove How far is it to Breck or to
Estes Park? You went to Estes Park.
Yeah.
Do I know this story better than you?
I know you do. How far is it though? That's like
So it's about an hour and 45 minutes from Denver.
Yeah. So we drove that way and we went to McDonald's and came back. Just to eat some classy mountain McDonald's.
Yeah, I hear the beef is better up there.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Okay, so taking trips. 1, 2, 3.
Healthy.
Yeah, I love it. What were we going to say? Unhealthy.
All right. This one is fun. Learning to say no.
Ooh, like, okay, so using that, like learning to say no. Okay, like, what? I'm a yes man.
But how often has saying yes like gotten you into like bad situations or like learning? Can you learn to say no to people? Like, or like, I know that's a problem I have, is like being able to say no when I'm like super highly stressed or like in the weeds in certain situations in my job, like being able to say no to like certain people, because I used to just pile on more and more stuff, which is what like really caused me to drink. So I feel like being able to say no.
I like that. I need to learn that better because I am such a yes man, and I'm the worst when, and managers love me because they come to me first. Dylan, do you mind staying tonight? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I guess I'll just cancel all my plans.
I guess, yes.
Okay, so learning to say no.
I think it is healthy.
Yeah, for all sure. Right.
One more. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm taking over.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to. No, okay. Yeah. So, never mind. I forgot.
Do it.
I forgot.
Open your phone.
It's not on there. I came up with
Aubrey. It's okay. We'll come back to it. Yoga and meditation.
Ooh.
I mean, okay. So
I love yoga.
Yes. I'm not good at it, but
I'm not. And I need to get into it. I should say I need to get into it more. I love the aspect of yoga. I don't do it right now.
Yeah. I've been doing beginner yoga for 10 years. So. And I don't have a problem with that. I love going to beginner yoga classes, and because they make sure you're doing the right thing, the right move. They look at every single, you know what I mean? I've been to some like experienced yoga classes and they literally just like bark out a pose sometimes and then just go into it. I'm like, oh, I kind of forgot how that one looked.
Yeah.
So I just love beginner yoga. They will tell you the pose.
They
want to
make sure
you're
doing everything right. They want to make sure that you are actually going to get all the benefits.
Yes.
From the yoga.
And meditation, I think I've talked about it before. I love Calm. Mm. I'm a big fan of the Calm app. Use it a lot.
I always see the commercials on TV and I'm like, I need to download that.
Oh, it's great. And then I guess it goes hand in hand with therapy, CBT, like cognitive behavioral therapy. I love the app Bloom. And I've talked about it before, I think. But Bloom, I use that daily. I use that every morning when I wake up. I, you know, get ready before my day and I do my 10 minutes to 15 minutes to just do my Bloom therapy. And it is such a good way to start your day.
I should probably look at that too.
It just puts you in such a good headspace for the day.
I really do need that, especially right now with school. I could use a good headspace every single morning I wake up. So
all those things.
I think that's
healthy. Yeah. really.
I remembered.
Yes.
Okay. So going out with friends who drink.
Ooh, okay.
Healthy or
so
unhealthy?
I don't mind it. I've never been like, it doesn't bother me. I think it's fun because once you get to that point where people start turning, you can say like, all right, guys, I'm going to peace out. And you can just totally miss that messed up part of the night. I will say in the beginning, I did not like it. I didn't like going and being around people that were drinking just because personally it was too close for comfort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, I'm too close to my drinking days. I feel like I have a little bit of space now over a year, you know,
you have that distance between you and alcohol now where you're like, I don't know. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you feel? What is your relationship with
I was kind of always a rebel, but like I feel like it was hounded in me in rehab to never, ever, ever go out with anyone who drank or any of that. And I was kind of like, screw that. I love it. It makes me laugh and it makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah. And you, I know you because I was a big drinker. You knew me as a drinker and you love buying shots for drinkers.
I will say that was probably the unhealthy part for me.
I get that.
I would live vicariously through people and I would buy shots for people because it was fun to like see that. So that was probably the unhealthy part for me.
Yeah.
Is I still was spending, I wasn't spending a lot of money. I would only buy like one or two drinks for people, but like I was still spending the money on the substance that was, that like caused me to be in this situation.
Yeah. I think that one, I'm going to have to say it's healthy and unhealthy. It's just subject to who you are.
Yeah. I think that goes back to breaking that fourth wall of like, can you handle it? Cause like, I think for me the whole time, I needed to be around it, I think, for me to cope with it, if that makes sense. I needed to be in that space.
But it sucks, too, to be like, when someone's like, oh, a couple of us were going to get together. I was going to invite you out, but I knew you didn't drink. Yeah. So and I'm like, fuck that. Invite me out.
Yeah,
like,
that's
I'll go
the thing
out.
I hated the most because I am a very sociable person when it, like, going out.
Yeah.
I hated not being invited to things.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sober, not mute, you know? Like, I still want to go out and do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But, okay, so...
I'm thinking that one is unhealthy.
Healthy.
Healthy.
Unhealthy.
I think it's a 50-50.
I think it's a 50-50, too.
You just who you are.
Yeah, and I think that brings us to the end of part one. We're going to have to do a part two on this one because we have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, I did not realize that this was going to take this long. We were like, oh, this one's not going to take that long.
We were like, let's, because we were deciding if we were going to like, anyway, never mind. I'm like telling all the tricks of the trade, all the secrets.
We don't need you to know.
Aubrey, where can these lovely, lovely beings find us on Instagram?
They can find us at the Sober Gay Podcast.
And if they want to find some show notes and stuff like that, where can they find us online?
They can find us online at thesobergay.com.
And if they have a burning desire to reach out to us, where can they email us?
Please email us at thesobergay@gmail.com.
We love you guys.
And it's the, not the, so don't do an extra E.
We love you, and remember to always
stay sober, girl.